Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to BitNote. We've got a good selection of video game music, so stay tuned, listen, and have a great dash of video game tunes. Hope you enjoy. Hey, everybody, and good to speak to you all again. Before Christmas, I played some music from Metropolis Street Racer, and I was actually disappointed because I was so busy playing tunes I didn't quite say a couple of things about its development studio, Bizarre Creations, that I wanted to. So before I dive right back into that, I think I'll play another track from that game. It's called Redline. Of course, as I said, it's also by Richard Jacks, and of course it's from the game Metropolis Street Racer, released for the Dreamcast by Bizarre Creations. So, have a listen, and hope you enjoy. So, what you heard there was a red line from the video game Metropolis Street Racer by Bizarre Creations, and the music track was composed by Richard Jacks. So, Bizarre Creations, well, it had a good run. On its Wikipedia page, it lists its fate, and yes, they do specifically refer to it as a fate, as being acquired and then dissolved. But it had kind of a very rich history in the time it was there. It started in the 90s in Liverpool, England, and essentially their first game was Formula One, which was a PlayStation racing game. So they did very well with that. It was a huge success. And then one day at an exhibition, they were showing Formula One playing, and a Sega representative came around and said, "Wait a sec, this looks like a great game. We need it for the Dreamcast. There's only one problem. How do we know which company actually made this Formula One game?" So he basically unplugged the demo booth, managed to get it replugged in, and as the game started up, he saw the logo of Bizarre Creations and knew that they were the team they wanted to try to make the next big racing game for the Sega Dreamcast. You see, if an industry representative unplugs the booth, he gets a new contract, but if I do it, I end up getting banned from the game store. Anyway, Metropolis Street Racer, as I've mentioned in a previous show, was a very very polished game involving it recreated 2 kilometer square sections from three cities around the world, and essentially it was high quality, had a great sort of radio soundtrack vaguely inspired by Grand Theft Auto in that sense, and basically had a series of driving and a whole kudos system where you'd win the race and get points more by how stylishly you drive, such as drifting and stuff, rather than just, you know, how fast you actually did the whole thing. It was a great success, and but of course the Dreamcast kind of went belly up, so Bizarre Creations went and did a set of other games. Oh, but of course, before that, they also did, of course, Fur Fighters, the classic shooting game where you play a bunch of cute little animals going through levels, blasting things away and just having a lot of fun. It was released in 2000 and just had a lot of fun levels that I'm sure would mostly be fun today, except one of them is clearly based on the World Trade Center. Just before it happened, you know, it was like a year before it happened, so it was fine. So they went on and did a variety of other video games, including what some of you may be familiar with, the Project Gotham Racing series. Yes, in the early days, the original Xbox seemed to hearken a lot of similarities to the Dreamcast, both by having online as a main focus and other things, and having Sega ended up making a lot of games for them. So the fact that Bizarre Creations, making such a great game for the racing game for the Dreamcast, went and created such a great racing game series for the Xbox, it just made the similarity even tighter. The Project Gotham Racing had a lot of sequels, and then they did something that no one expected and came up with Geometry Wars. I believe there's been a new version of Geometry Wars released recently, but back then, you know, it was suddenly a hit. It was back when the Xbox Live Arcade was new. Xbox Live Arcade was like that system where Xbox was saying and Microsoft were saying, "Listen, you don't just have to buy games in the shops, you can and put the discs into the machine. Now you can connect to the internet and download them. Hooray!" And PC gamers going, "Yeah, we know, we've been doing that already." But console gamers were all like, "What? No, I don't know. What's it, you know, put discs in and stuff?" But Geometry Wars was one of the earliest examples that this sort of thing could be a success. It was a fun, colourful, basic shooting game, and also kind of like popularised what's called the twin-stick shooter genre. This is actually a genre of shooter that I really like, because basically you move around the thing around with one analogue stick, and then you press the other analog stick, and when you press in that direction it shoots. So there's no button to press for shooting, you just move the analog stick in the direction that you want enemies to die in, and it just works. It's just, I've always found it was a very intuitive use of it. Dual analog sticks have been a control thing that consoles have had for a while, and Geometry Wars was one of the ones that popularized a way of making this control scheme have a lot of shooty fun. And then of course there was The Club. The Club was a pretty classic game that I never played much, and I didn't really like that much, but some people really do like it. It's basically a shooting game where essentially there's this thing called a club where it's kind of like Fight Club, only it's like Shooting Club, and you go through all these areas and shoot people and blast people in the face and everything. A lot of people, I mentioned before about how The Club seems to have empired something in the Saints Row series called Professor Genki's Fun Time Reality Climax, except in that show you're shooting all these bunch of furry creatures and stuff. It's actually fun. I think I found it more fun in Saints Row than I did The Club, which I feel bad for saying, because I know a lot of energy and time and everything went into making The Club, but I just wasn't the keenest on it, so sorry about that. But there was The Club, then they went Blur and so on. In 2007 they were acquired by Activision, and then unfortunately in 2010 it was dissolved, and that was it. Bizarre Creations, the great British developer that had created a lot of fun and a lot of good games, was now dissolved, and but their legacy remains. And I think it's kind of sad, and I think it's sort of annoying how often these companies get acquired and then you can make a whole list. I tried making a list of all the companies that end up being bought out and then completely dissolved within a few years of this happening. Everything from that company that made Halo Wars to Pandemic Studios to so on and so forth. It seems like when a lot of these things buy out these companies, it's like, yeah, it'll be great to have. And then a few years later, oh, I'm bored with it. New toy now. Throw it away. Oof. And then when that happens, you've got a great, often dedicated team who are off doing new things. But do new things that the team from Bizarre Creations did. I believe there's at least four startup companies that are formed by the founders of Bizarre Creations, all had different things going with them, and one of them even continued to develop the most recent Geometry Wars game. So, there's always this ending and rebirth, and I wish the best of luck to all of them, and thanks for the games. So, I've got one of the track from Metropolis Street Racer, also by Richard Jacks, but if I have time left at the end of the show, I'll play it. But for now, I think I'll move on to the music track of a completely different game, and one that's fun and energetic, and of a certain gaming series that you're probably that you probably know I like if you follow the show at all. So, I think it's time for A New Day. Was a fun track, and it is from the game Sonic Rush, which was developed by Sonic Team and Dimps, released in 2005, and it is composed by Hideki Naganuma, which, as you may know, is the composer behind the Jet Set Radio track. So if you like Jet Set Radio and you find a couple of similarities in some of the tracks I'm going to play for you now, well, there's your answer. Sonic Rush was Sonic's first foray onto the Nintendo DS. After Sega went platform agnostic, as they called it, i.e. developed for platforms other than the ones that we personally have actually created, they started making games for Nintendo platforms, something that was unthinkable in the early 90s. As I said, this happened after the Dreamcast went belly up, so... But they had a series of Sonic Advance game for the Game Boy Advance, but it had this new and new console coming out called the Nintendo DS. Now, to be honest, no one was sure it would have a success, and even Nintendo were like banking, saying, well, you know, it's not technically a Game Boy. We still have a three-pillar structure where the DS is one of them, and you know, we'll still make a Game Boy even though there's a DS version. Of course, that totally didn't happen because the DS was such a success, but back then it was such a sure thing. And of course, so they realized that, you know, having Sonic being such a good seller on the Game Boy Advance, it was definitely a foreseen conclusion that Sonic would pop up on the DS. Actually, one of Sonic's first forays onto the DS wasn't so much in this game, but actually in a demo that was never really released. And the idea, it was actually, the idea was that, you know, they'd see this great big 3D demo version of Sonic running through this thing, and at the touchscreen on the bottom, they'd put the stylus on touchscreen and rub it back and forth really, really fast, and the faster you did that, the faster Sonic would run. And if you're saying that's kind of a game, but it's kind of like a very repetitive one, yeah, that's the idea. But, you know, with new technology, you're always creating these simple game ideas, and that was actually a very useful game that helped the Nintendo DS. And you know why? It is because the developers of the DS suddenly saw how much punishment people would put onto the touchscreen of the Nintendo DS and, you know, redesigned accordingly. So, thanks to Sonic the Hedgehog, many DS screens all around the world have been saved because the developers realized that they really needed to make this thing a lot tougher. So, with Sonic approaching the DS, it wasn't just the fact that there was now 3D graphics, but indeed there was. The game mixes what's called 2.5D graphics, where a lot of the graphics are 2D, but a lot of the characters and indeed the boss stages are in 3D, but the gameplay is still 2D since it's left to left, right to right, and jump makes you go up and then fall down again. So it's pretty straightforward in that way. But as you can hear, another advantage of the Nintendo DS: CD quality music. Yep, it had happened in the mid-90s on console platforms with CD drives, but as you can see, it took about a decade later to come to portable devices, and what you've just heard there is the evidence of the fact now we got CD quality music. Very much a little fun. I'll chat a bit more about the game, but I think we'll switch over to another track that I really like about it, and this track we hope to find what you need.
Proceed. This is what is what you need. What you need.
And the track there was What You Need. As I said, it was by Hideki Naganuma from the game Sonic Rush by Sonic Team and Dimps. As I said there, Dimps was, of course, a developer, third party, which Sega tends to work with a fair bit, especially for developing platform Sonic games. It was Dimps that developed the Sonic Advance games, and it was also the Sonic Rush games. The Sonic Rush really does live up to its name, because there is literally a button that makes you rush. Now, keep in mind, Sonic already has a thing called a spin dash, which basically means you can, like, you know, rev up and then suddenly bolt forward. But no, with Dimps, it actually had a button that you just blast forwards without even needing to spin dash in the first place. Of course, it does have a gauge that needs to be refilled by pulling tricks and all that sort of stuff, but that's sort of the game for you. One of the other things that the game is known for is introducing Blaze, who's a character who's popped up a lot of times in Sonic games since then. And also, I'll also remember how this game suddenly seemed to introduce her as a visitor from another, an alternate dimension. And then about, like, less than a year later, Sonic 2006 comes out and says, oh, wait a sec, Blaze is actually from the future. So just an example of how Sonic really, really doesn't keep up with continuity very well. I'm going to play some Wrapped in Black. It's from the game's penultimate boss stage. That was Wrapped in Black. It is from the, like I said, the last stage in Sonic Rush, which is a great big epic boss fight in space and all that sort of stuff. The game is essentially how you play as both Sonic and as Blaze, and you play through the whole game and as one character and then through the whole game as another character with slightly different remixed background music. And then, of course, you got towards the end, and if you'd completed both of their things, you unlocked a last level, a pattern that was started in Sonic Adventure, and then you'd get the rest of the story and then have that epic boss fight, as I said, in space and everything. Yes, So I said at the end, so that was Sonic Rush. So I said at the start of the show that if I had some time left over, I would play another song from Metropolis Street Racer. And it turns out that I actually do have that time. What I'm about to play for you now is It Doesn't Really Matter by Richard Jacks. And I believe the lyrics are by TJ Davis, who somehow goes uncredited in this game. Personally, I think a lot of stuff really does matter, but whatever that case may be, I'll still let you listen to this great song. So, I'll leave you with that. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Remember to follow us on Twitter at BitNoteFM. Go to BitNoteFM.com if you'd like to download and listen to previous episodes. And remember that we're a podcast available on iTunes. So if you've got an iDevice, just search for BitNote on iTunes or your podcast app, and you'll instantly be able to get access to all the previous episodes of BitNote and be constantly updated whenever I upload them. So, keep a watch out for BitNote in whatever podcast system you use, or just go to BitNoteFM.com. So, I'll leave you at that. This has been David Collins with BitNote, leaving you with It Doesn't Really Matter by Richard Jacks and TJ Davis from Metropolis Street Racer by Bizarre Creations. Thank you for listening, and hope you enjoy.